Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. Oh, I've got an amazing show in store for you with a woman I've truly been anxiously awaiting to bring on the show. I am very, very thrilled to have joining me today an amazing woman who I adore and I love. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley and the Universe and from Abraham. So I want to get through them really, really quickly today so I can introduce you to my guest, because I am so, so thrilled to have her with me today. And I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. So first, from the Universe. You ready? Here it is. You eat to nourish your body. You sleep to rejuvenate your spirit. You study, work, and apply yourself for emotional gains. You exercise to tighten your muscles. You listen to music to entertain yourself. You're not at all adverse to investing time and energy for the rewards you seek. So how about you spare just a few minutes every day to visualize the life of your dreams? Because nothing else you could ever do will make such a profound difference in your fortunes and misfortunes as working with new pictures in your mind. Can you start today? The Universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe. And today, reminding us, as the Universe loves to often remind us, of the importance of visualization. And visualization is really just a very potent tool that helps to move us. And I know my guest has probably a slightly different perspective on this. I'm sure she'll have something to say about this during the interview. But that visualization sort of moves us forward in the direction and draws us to the very thing that we're visualizing. And you know, the Universe often tells us, if you really want to move even more quickly, you want to make that visualization really sexy and juicy and put some emotional content behind it. And that just so magnetically draws you to what it is you're looking to experience and create in your life. Nothing can come in its way. And well, I don't know. I'm going to ask you, go out there, try it, visualize. For, I know Mike Dooley right now, he's running like a 21-day visualization challenge. Visualize something that you really want to experience in your life for 21 days. Just take 15 minutes a day and do it. See what happens. I think it's awesome. All right, I love that quote from the Universe. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Many around you want to point out, quote unquote, reality to you. They say, face the facts, look at what is. Then, by the law of and we say to you, if you are able to see only what is, then by law of attraction, you will create only more of what is. You must be able to put your thoughts behind what is in order to attract something different or something more. Abraham. And I think this quote, I think, goes to something I heard Abraham say once, which is basically, just because something is true is a lousy reason to give your attention to it. And indeed, the only reason why something is true is because we've given our attention to it in the past over and over and over again until we've convinced ourselves that it is the truth. And that reality is only reality because we've given our attention to it over and over and over again. And so what we see is what we feel, this is what is. But if we can tweak that a little bit, if we can turn our attention, I think this very much goes in alignment with the first quote, that if we can visualize and turn our attention to not what is, but what it is we want, what it is we envision for ourselves and for the people around us, what it is that we want to see, even before we see it, if that's where we put our attention and our energy, and that's what we believe is our reality, it will become our reality faster than ever before. So these two quotes from both the Universe and from Abraham. And then again, these are just today's quotes and very apropos quotes, I think, for my guest today. They're all about Where are we putting our focus, our attention? Where are we visualizing? Where are we putting our energy? And that this is where we are being creators. This is where we are really sort of taking charge of our life and saying to the universe, this is what I want more of. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to experience. And then we put ourselves into the feeling mode of that thing we want to experience, and magic will happen. So, two wonderful, amazing, and very apropos quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. Hope you enjoyed them, and glad you are with me today. I see on the Facebook Live, loyal listener Patty is with us. Thank you, Patty, for joining us. All right, so now I'm running through these quick because I really want to bring on my guest, because this woman is very near and dear to my heart. We first met a couple of years ago at a weekend down in Asheville, North Carolina. And she has been very much in my thoughts ever since then. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the show Jennifer Huff, who is a best-selling author, seer, and lover of life. She made a traumatic transition in her 30s from working for multinational corporation doing forecasts to seeing life, people, and the world as an energy hologram. In other words, she has a very, very grounded background, and she plays in these worlds we like to play in now. She now travels the world acting as a conduit for those who seek the ability to fully live out their purpose with clarity and confidence. Why? Because it became clear after a transition that we are ready as human beings to be free, expand our compassion, and fully enjoy our lives instead of living out of fear and control. She engages metaphysical tools that fast-track her clients and therefore bypass the need to constantly analyze by going direct with consciousness. Jennifer's work is for those that know it's time to be changed, to be fulfilled, and find that something more that is waiting for us. Her programs include Get Out of Your Own Way, Flight School, and The Innate Abilities, the Academy of Human Superpowers. Ooh, I love superpowers. You guys know that. And it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Jennifer Huff. Welcome, Jennifer. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Damn, I'm so excited to be here. Yay!
Yay! Yes, I'm very thrilled to have you on here. So I would love to start off with you just giving a little bit of your background and your story, because I always like to give my audience some context, right? So you started off in this world. You were very much an analytical, quote-unquote, normal person. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, my mom's a teacher. My dad's, I think he was in the carpet business, and then he turned into an entrepreneur, still is right now. And, you know, just had that normal, everyday Canadian upbringing. But with me, what was different is I started out my life with eye operations. I would say, I think that's the reason why I see things differently. I don't know. I wore glasses. I had patches over my eye. I always felt different. I was always the tallest girl in the class. Mm. I always had curly hair that I hated. Had acne when I was in high school. You know, a whole bunch of things that caused me to become extremely shy and withdrawn. And what that did is it also made me incredibly introspective about life. Like, how do you be happy? And so I would say my first, without knowing that it was, my first foray into inquiring about spirituality is right after I'd been confirmed in my Anglican church, where I questioned everything the minister said. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. And I don't think Jesus would have done that. And, you know, I just could feel there was things that didn't make sense to me. So I questioned everything. I'm sure I made him absolutely crazy. And I unplugged from anything religious at that point, and I ended up talking to my physics teacher in grade 12, who was a big, huge African PhD genius physics teacher. I mean, I can't believe we were so blessed as to as to have this guy teaching us physics in high school. So I would philosophize with him. He called me Huffy. I would just philosophize with, I would, I, we would philosophize about life and how it worked, and I would talk about death and heaven, and we would talk about it in terms of energetics. And so that was my first foray, not realizing that at some point I would have a life-changing experience while I was working at the big multinational where I left. And I kept my volunteer job working with street kids. And that weekend I ended up walking with I left a corporate job because I could feel that sense of something more calm. Sam, I will guarantee you probably had that feeling too at some point, right? Like life has something more.
Well, you know, Jennifer, it's so funny. I didn't ever realize that we had so much in common because my mom was a school teacher.
Wow.
My dad was a statistician, so he worked with numbers all the time.
Yeah.
And when I graduated high school and I was trying to, when I went to college and trying to figure out what was I going to major in, because I was also followed my dad. I was pretty good with math and science. I was a physics major my first year in college.
Funny.
And this is a long time ago. I worked in the physics lab and I actually got to create a hologram.
Come on!
Yep.
So cool!
And back when people didn't even know what a hologram was, I was in there with another student who was a couple of years above me and setting up the lasers and the plate and zoop so that. Yeah.
No wonder we're in love. So,
exactly.
So because I was an accounting major and understand that my father's ancestry all the way back were engineers.
Ah.
So that's all that side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I was in the middle of the streets of Toronto without my big time job, but still do my volunteer work with street kids, and I had the second lesson. What the first one was, you know, when instinct happens, it's as though the future of who you are, like you were talking about vision earlier, imagine that the entire universe can see the future possibilities of the collection of personality traits, skill sets, and natural propensities that you are. Like, before you got here, your soul already had a vast array of potential directions that would be the most fulfilling expression of that collection of characteristics, right?
It
has an idea of how it fits into building bridges to a better world of humanity. And so consciousness thought you were a good idea. So imagine, you know, instinct is assisting you to be redirected back to your past. So I didn't know that at the time. I was just in the past. So, but I knew that I couldn't stay at that big multinational anymore. But I knew that I was supposed to stay in my volunteer job.
Okay.
I would work on the van in the middle of Toronto, feeding homeless people and transvestite prostitutes, you know, all sorts of beautiful human beings. And getting to know them better. And one day I was walking a girl named Angel. Well, she called herself Angel. Wow. 15, like less than 100 pounds. And with my first official job as a paid youth worker, they hired me on as a part-time paid youth worker, even though I was an economist. And I walked her to the psych ward, and she was supposed to be borderline schizophrenic. She told me her entire history, Sam, with her brothers and her father was up to her. It was a horrific story. And they told me not to touch her while we're walking. I held her hand the whole time. They told me not to get into her history, talk about her history the entire time. They told me, you know, not to offer her a deed of counsel or anything like that. I completely offered her my entire heart. When I left her off at the psych ward, I was in shock. I fell to my knees and I started crying and I looked up in the sky. And, you know, remember, I already let go of religion and the whole idea. I was questioning whether there was a God.
Right.
So I looked up into the sky. It was one of those times where it's like, I don't know what creation is. I'm not sure what we call it. I know it's not a dude on a throne somewhere, but it's a thing. And I looked up and I said, whatever you are, wherever you are, whatever you is. I can't become a social worker because in order to do their job, so many of them become numb and I can't lose my feelings. Feelings are the access to whether I'm expanding into a beautiful life or whether I'm contracting away from that original intent for my life. That faster way of things that would be most fulfilling. If I lose my feelings, I lose my I can't do that. Then the second option was, okay, take all these kids in and get someone to finance a big house. But it's like, then I would have to go to, at the time I was in Canada, to the United States, I'd have to go to Africa, I'd have to go to India, I'd have to go to everywhere, and like, that's not going to happen. Because that's not the, so I asked, what's the, then what, like, how could you show me such pain? Yet, like, if you really are there, how could you show me such pain, but yet not give me, you better give me a solution? And the solution was, not to be melodramatic, but really now, retroactively looking back at it, the solution was to spend the rest of my life building bridges within individual people as the microcosm for the macrocosm of better living. And given the metaphysical to me, you know, I studied with mystics, with scientists, with all sorts of people from all over the world. We've been around the world like 2 or 3 times now teaching, but also learning. And so my background is that little angel, that there are and that no one, not only should no one have to live that way, but should no one need that much contrast, as Abraham likes to call it.
Okay, so I want you to pause you. Yeah, I want to pause you there for a moment because we just have to take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk about, you know, what kind of came out of that whole experience for you and how, like, now you work with people. And we'll get in for our topic of today of this, how to, you know, take this crazy time that we're in and create it in a positive way in our life, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. So everyone, please stay, hold on. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over Facebook Live. So everyone, please stay with us. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Today we're speaking with my dear friend and amazing teacher, Jennifer Huff, all about how to use crazy times to fuel ridiculous positive change.
Yay!
So Jennifer, you were giving us a little bit of your background, kind of how, in the last segment, of how you know, you had worked at the multinational corporation doing forecasts and economic type stuff, but you had been volunteering to work with street kids and had experienced, like, sort of the pain and the difficulty that these children go through. And it really brought you to kind of a bit of an existential crisis, as they call it. That then led to an opening, right?
Well, As I was alluding to it, I didn't. Human beings weren't born to survive, right? We were born to thrive. We're physical manifestations of creation. If we went back all the way to the beginning of time, Sam, like the beginning, the Big Bang. Imagine that the photons, the atoms, the everything that got created in that moment that just went, like, right out into the universe, that became and became, like, became nebula, became suns and solar systems and galaxies, mm-hmm. eventually became human. Imagine the inertia in those particles. They always right. want to be moving forward and out and creating, and we're made right. of those particles. We're made of the same atoms.
Right.
So they still have that forward create. Scientifically, we have that inertia. Spiritually, we're creator in human form. I mean, how many different ways do we have to say it, right?
Right.
So for me, if we just stopped at, gosh, how can I get, how can I assist people to survive better? That would be so the booby prize of all booby prizes. and when you have that, that very profound moment in the middle of Toronto, having a conversation with whatever it is, and it says to you, listen, your job is to build bridges to being able to go direct with life in the same spirit of thriving, creative upon creation. And so, I didn't want to be able to, you're talking about vision earlier.
Right.
What if all vision is when we have a vision? That vision was part of the future trajectory of the possibility of who we were in the first place.
Yeah.
And that when we're having a vision, we're actually catching up to a future potential that already our metaphysical beingness, our the over 90% of us that exists not in 3D, was already working on it. And what happened in 3D is you caught up to something that was already in your natural trajectory because of the choices you've made in your life. You made all these choices. It's not like it's fate. We still create our life, but given the choices and given the what we want more of and given the directions we've gone, what if when we get a vision, it's not actually, and then it manifests, it's not actually a manifestation like the intention from our mind did it, but actually the intention of who we were before we even got here is why it really happened. We just caught up to a natural outplaying. So I started working in a school for those kids to show them what was possible. That was invented by a fellow Torontonian that still exists to this day.
Yeah.
And in these ridiculous, they were already living tremendous contrast, those kids.
Yeah.
Kind of like how we're in contrast right now, right?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty fair to say that, we're experiencing some really interesting contrast on a daily basis. And it's so funny because when I talk to people, it's almost like we're living in two different worlds, because there's some people like ourselves who are doing very well despite the external circumstances. And there are other people who are having a really hard time and they're struggling and they don't know like how they're going to pay rent next month. And for me, it's just so interesting because it's not everybody in that situation. So it's like, what's really the difference? What's separating us?
Well, the cool thing is, no matter what's going on with you, it's all happening for you, right?
Yes.
So it's either giving you, there's only, contrast can only happen for three reasons. One is to redirect you to a different set of, that your paradigm in which you're living life is not congruent with the direction of who you were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why everything's a struggle. So that's a redirect. The second one is just fine-tuning something that you're off a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is sometimes it shows you the way. Like you just,
mm-hmm.
that contrast clarifies the way so clearly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like in my marriage, right now, Sam, that, there's a subject that's up to leave and there's contrast. But the cool thing is it's changing me. It's causing me to understand love and men more deeply. And that will change the entire rest of my life. I'm so grateful now, even though I don't know. And that gratitude now presumes that it's happening for me. I'm already grateful for what I don't even know is going to change my life and make it better.
Right.
That's like an automatic thing that I've trained myself to be grateful now, regardless of not knowing why it's happening for me. Right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the recommendations. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been through a lot of the things that you just mentioned, actually. Can't pay the rent. You know, I've done that. Got a t-shirt on all of those things.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, so it is what it is. So a mutual friend, Valerie Shepherd Sam.
Ah, yes. I love Valerie.
I literally was just talking to her.
Oh, really?
So since you're in New York.
Yes.
and this is time sensitive, but everyone will remember this incident no matter when they listen to this podcast, when they listen to this radio interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what happened with the black man who, a graduate of Harvard, standing, watching, being a bird watcher.
Right, yes.
There was also this woman who literally was giving an Academy Award performance. basically making up that this man was being abusive in some way.
Right.
And that's contrast.
Yeah.
Now, why does it happen for us? Well, Valerie and I were just talking about that. Because it's another form of contrast that we can use to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as a result, Valerie and I are going to start something.
Yay!
Right.
Oh, my God.
That will build bridges for people of color and not color, because most people won't know Valerie is a beautiful black woman.
Yes, she is.
And so starting a conversation of, what can we do at the grassroots level? We can throw money at organizations, which is a great idea. Please do.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we actually do to take our power back so that as human beings we can act? So that's what happens when we get catalyzed. You either take the energy of crazy to complain, to argue for your point of view, to protect yourself from more crazy, or just think about it. That's all survival. Can you get that?
Right, right, okay. Completely.
Or you take the contrast to immediately phone up your friend Valerie and say, okay, girl, what are we doing about this? Because I can't sit by. Someone I love is going to get hurt if this keeps, you know, it's like right in my face now. It is so painful in my heart.
Yeah.
And what do we got to do without starting a 501(c)(3), without now, like right now, right? And then another thing that we just started is called Agents of Awakening.
Yes.
It was completely came from these polarizing times. And it's like all the, that will be philanthropic, but it's all the people that are doing small things locally. And some people that are doing great big things, like John Krasinski, who just started Some Good News because he just wanted to hear good news.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Cool.
So
yeah.
it's like, what can we, what, that's how you, instead of just thinking, like, how can, be courageous enough to think big.
Right, right. That you can actually make a difference. That it's not for somebody else to do. But if you feel called to do it, as you said before, it's you're being called forward to something you've already intended in the past that you're just catching up to now. And that calling is your soul, spirit, energy, whatever you want to call it, calling to you saying, hey, remember, this is something you said you wanted to be able to work on and do at this time when this stuff happens.
And let it feel personal. Like for me, that thing that happened in Central Park, that's personal. My husband is of color. My best friend is of color. Right?
Yep.
It's not okay on my watch. Now, you will never see me get militant. That's the difference, Sam.
Yes,
I'm not interested in being militant about it. That just creates polarity, which is the same thing that caused the problem in the first place.
Right, exactly.
What I'm interested in doing is I'm interested, and I invite everybody to, God, I'm just touching in to stay. I feel so passionate about this today. I just feel so, like, moved that it is, you know, this dude on Facebook, and bless you if you're listening right now, he commented, I put on a post about the prime minister of, I'm not any party. I'm not, you know, I am transcendent of sides, right? Mm. And I put on a post about Jacinta, the prime minister of New Zealand, because, man, that woman leads with heart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Does her, you know, whatever, but I really liked her. And he said, typical liberal something or other. And I went, well, dude, I'm like apolitical. I'm all about the third entity. He goes, what's the third entity?
Mm.
And we had this conversation, Sam, that actually had him consider, because you could tell that he was on other people's side, sort of fighting his cause.
Right.
And I said, dude, I'm not on any side. Mm. I'm on the side of humanity. I'm on the third side.
Mm.
I invite the day. I will love the day when you come to the side of the third entity that includes everybody, where we all come together in the place where we can all agree that a different world can be created. And we take all this energy we use to fight, to have an opinion, to all this, and we channel all of it towards what it is that we want to create.
Exactly.
And then going back to your idea of visioning, imagine that if you can actually catch up to a vision of the world being different, even if you can't perfectly see it, the fact that you can feel it being possible means that you're a bridge builder, because it was already in your future.
Yeah.
And you were born into times of great change, and consciousness knew who you were before you got here.
Yeah.
So imagine that the third entity is a creation that's catalyzed by contrast, that is a world that we don't know how to create. But all we know how to do is in the right now, we know we can do one thing or two things or be different in the grocery store or whatever it is.
Right, right.
So just, I invite everyone to consider that third entity before you start arguing with someone, before you start being positional,
right,
before you invest your energy in being a right fighter.
Right. Right.
Right.
And it's beautiful. It brings to mind an old Chinese fable, which I'll talk about right after this break. But it's that importance of getting rid of this us versus them, because there is only us. There is no them. So we're going to take a quick break, Jennifer, and we'll come back. I want to talk about that. And then we'll go on to like what can people do today in these crazy times to create positive, ridiculous change even more. All right. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Jennifer Huff of thewideawakening.com, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I'm here with my dear friend, and I like to call her my spiritual cohort, Jennifer Huff, talking about, let's just call it the third, like I love your term, the third entity. Because what you just talked about the last segment about this idea of trying to get past this, you know, us versus them kind of thing, it just always brings up to me this proverb or fable that I heard, this old Chinese fable, about there was this village, and in this village, most of the people were poor, but there was this one man who was wealthy, and he owned all the land, and he had all the money, and so he jealously guarded that wealth. And then he thought, you know, oh, I'm getting old, I'm getting frail, someone from town could come over and kill me and take all my money. So he goes to some other village and hires the biggest, strongest guy he could find to protect him. And so the guy now is his bodyguard. And so he's with him and everything seems okay for the moment. But then he realizes, you know what? Nothing is stopping this big guy from killing me and taking all my money. So he goes out and gets another big guy from a different village over. So now he has two big, strong, tough bodyguards who can protect him from everybody in the village. But then he thought, you know what? What happens if the two of them team up together? They could kill me and take all my money. So what did he do? When he'd go to the first bodyguard, when the second one wasn't around, he goes, oh, did you hear what the other guy said about you? He said your family is poor, your mother's ugly, this, that, and you tell them all these lies. And then he'd go to the second bodyguard when the first bodyguard wasn't around and said, hey, did you hear what the other guy said about you? He said, you're stupid. You're this, you're that. And so he told him these lies as well. So what happened? These two bodyguards were then like mad at each other and constantly kind of fighting with each other, not right. realizing that really who is the real culprit was the old man with all the money because he wants to hold on to his money or his power. And I just kind of feel like whether you're talking about political divisions, racial divisions, economic divisions, it's all the same thing.
It's distraction.
Yes.
It's distraction because just the same way that man has money and he was trying, so survivalism, trying to protect my money, that's the old man.
Right.
But you see, on the other side of that, flip the coin. You could also completely inspire those two guys to actually inspire everybody else to actually become abundant because that man's abundant and he pays himself forward. And those two guys not only protect him, but they actually spread the message.
Right.
So it's like shifting the focus to changing the world around you so that no one ever has to live like the angel that I met so many years ago.
And if nothing else, doesn't this situation that we're living in right now kind of show us how interdependent we are? How one person's health affects everybody's health, how one person's situation affects everybody's situation, and how we are actually so much more connected to each other than we are separate from each other?
Of course we are. You know, we're all breathing the same air.
Right.
We're breathing air that was in Africa only months ago. You know, we're breathing... We're drinking water that was in Thailand only months ago. You know, it's, you know, we are everything. And so the point being that in crazy times, you know, I'm brought to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, they say that, you know, you have to be in survival first. And like, first you've got to make sure you have a house and you have food and you have water. And then you work your way up. You have to have, you know, something that you do for a living that's sustainable and da-da-da-da-da. And they work you all the way up to the top of the pyramid. And the is self-actualization. It's like, what are you going to do to give back?
Right.
And I remember the day so clearly when I was in the middle of one of our programs and talking to one of our students. And I said, you know... She said, you have to move, you have to, like, I'm here in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I said, my dear, you know, this is what I have to say. What I have to say is, when you actually realize the generosity of the entire universe, the only thing you would ever do is figure out how you can be a contribution, no matter how much or little money, much or little food, big or small your house, you would be in consistent awareness of how you can be generous without, you have to be generous to yourself as well. So it's not about carrying humanity. It's not about saving the world.
Right.
So generosity has to include yourself, downtime, etc. But in that cycle of reciprocal generosity with the universe, with consciousness, with life itself, what happens is you start to experience the abundance that just is. And it requires actually just going from being born, getting yourself to the awareness or to the frequency where you feel so abundant that giving from your overflow is just your natural state. But you don't have to go through all the stages first.
Right.
And you can just, that's just a, we're just blowing apart ancient psychological dogma right now, but that's okay. All ancient wisdom is looking to be updated. So, and you know, Abraham would agree with that. And Sam, you know, it's all about frequency. It's all about tuning into the station where the good stuff is.
Right, right.
And I'm just talking about the physics of the abundance such that we could all give from our overflow. That would be a different world.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a story I once, and I've shared the story on my show before. I once went to a meeting of people who were working on the work of Sonia Choquette. And this woman had just come back from India. She had spent, you know, 2-3 weeks at an ashram. And then before coming back, she spent like a weekend in, I don't know if it's Delhi or Bangalore. And she was in a, like a resort, like a 5-star resort hotel. And she had a terrace and everything. And she the morning before she was going to leave, she walks out on the veranda in the morning and she sees all these slums surrounding this beautiful, magnificent hotel. Yeah. And she just goes, oh my God, I wish there was so much more. There was something more I could do for all these people. And then she stopped herself and looked really closely at what she was seeing. And there were some kids playing in the dirt with like a tin can and they were laughing. And there was a grandmother and a grandfather holding each other, watching their grandchildren. And there was, you know, a woman hanging the laundry out and singing. And there were all these little things in the scene that all of a sudden she noticed how happy these people were. In abject poverty, but they were happy that people here in the United States could be multi-millionaires and they would kill for that happiness. And then she realized, who am I to say like what these people don't have instead of seeing what they actually do have? So it's not about our level of economic status. You know, it's not about the stuff that we have. It's about how we feel on the inside, isn't it?
It is. It's really about the frequency to which you're tuned. Now, there's a back to the subject at hand, Sam, the whole idea of crazy. It also begs that we pay attention to our perception of the world around us. And that doesn't mean that we put lipstick on a pig. You understand? it's like so for instance, we were talking about that thing in Central Park just a second ago, right? And we could say yeah, but she'll learn her lesson, and yeah, but look at how it turned out okay, and more awareness got out in the world. That's all true. That's all true. And you were talking earlier about the whole idea of like, let's not activate reality. Well, what I always look at is what got catalyzed there. And is there a role for me? Like, am I inspired to action about this? Mostly it's all, I mean, my action is to do our work. If everyone in the world actually had their superpowers, they wouldn't have to steal their power from other people.
Right.
They wouldn't have to manipulate consciousness to get their power back.
So
I am literally in action all the time towards a better world every day. Individually and at large and corporately and all of that kind of stuff. But if we don't put lipstick on a pig and we pay attention to the contrast that really gets our attention, like it's personal, those are the ones where we can be catalyzed to action. And again, I love what you said. It doesn't, like those people in that story with Sonia Choquette, right? One of her students sharing that story. There, she had an instant perception of what was going on, and then she took a closer look, and it's like, oh. And then she got given to.
Yes, exactly.
Because she raised her frequency, perceived the truth of what was going on. And then paid that story forward, and we're still talking about it now.
Yeah, and this was years ago. Years ago this happened, but it made such an impression on me that I still carry it with me. So I got to take one last break. I apologize. You know, I could talk with you for hours and hours and hours, but I only have 1 hour this time, but we'll definitely have to have you back on in the future. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Jennifer Huff of thewideawakening.com, and we will be right back after this. And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with my dear friend, amazing catalyst of human souls, Jennifer Huff. And Jennifer, it's really been such a pleasure having you on the show. So I would love to just leave our audience with, you know, we've been talking about sort of a different way of looking at what's going on around us. But I would just love if maybe you have just one or two more quick points about what can our audience do today in the middle of these crazy times that we live in to, whether it's be more in contribution, feel more empowered, know that they are more powerful than they give themselves credit for, and that they can take their thoughts and be inspired by them and do something with it.
So three things come to mind, Sam. Truly, there are three things. One of them is, use these times of great change to actually more finely tune and catalyze you being an even more efficient razor of, well, I'm going to say it in our vernacular, consummate champion of your vibration. So, in other words, what if the only reason there is contrast is to decide what it is that, to get clarity on what it is that is desired by you, to show you the bridge that you're meant to go off across. What if the only reason for contrast is that? What if you instantly got into gratitude, even though you don't know the full clarity of what's lying ahead? That if the contrast is this big, my God, what's coming is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
So if we can train ourselves to that place, imagine, Sam, if every piece of contrast we didn't get involved in, we didn't get distracted by, we literally had it be the catalyst it was born to be. And at very least, we took a nap before we went too far down the yucky rabbit hole, and then we allowed ourselves to be in gratitude for the future manifestation of the amazingness that's to come because of the contrast you just witnessed.
Yeah. And I just want to say real quick, and I know the HeartMath Institute did studies, and they found that gratitude is like the highest frequency that the body can emanate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I love HeartMath. Okay. The second thing is that, and I call that a superpower. If you can actually make that switch, that for me is a superpower, to be able to instantly understand that so that everything happens for you, but embody that as a way of being, because that's what happens when you embody it as a way of being.
Right.
The second thing is, you must have people around you that will remind you of who you are when you forget. I call it the posse. You need your posse. So I like to be triangulated, so I need at least three people, and I have those people. And when if I spend in this community idea, also give yourself a timeline, a time limit as to how long you're willing to stay in polarity, upset, or righteousness. So I have a time limit. My time limit is 2 hours. So I can't stay in it for weeks. Why? Because literally, you know, the laws of physics say I'm just going to find more things to be upset about.
Right.
So the question for point number two, the question to ask oneself is, am I more interested in being right, or am I more interested in creating an amazing life around me? Which one?
Right. Yeah.
And then you got to answer the question and act accordingly. The third one might surprise some people, because a lot of times in these personal growth or in these evolutionary consciousness-based conversations, we can get very esoteric. But I am a big fan of doing things, as my friend William Linville says, doing things in a body on a planet. Because we didn't do this to be in dreamy land all the time. We came here to build bridges for humanity in the world. We are three-dimensional beings. We're consciousness, but we're in 3D. So we're creating in 3D. What is required when you're creating in 3D is to actually act. So do something that feeds your soul. The thing for me, going out into nature is wonderful, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about build a bridge.
Mm.
So, for instance, find someone you can go and get groceries for. Put something, put a fun picture that inspires people walking by at the end of your driveway. all the way to what Valerie and I will be doing, or creating, you know, Agents of Awakening, where people can be inspired and can get information on how to make a movement and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just do, create a radio show. You know? It's like, do something. Volunteer somewhere with people that maybe are less fortunate than you. Be in the food bank, and because what happens is, so gratitude is a wonderful thing, Sam. Mm-hmm. What happens when you help people that are less fortunate than you are, even if you think you're not that fortunate,
right?
What happens is you cannot not be grateful.
Right.
It comes as right. an embodied state rather than a thing you force with your brain. And if we can do things from a place of experience mm-hmm. and embodiment, mm-hmm. what happens is it will catalyze you to automatically default back to gratitude the next time you start complaining about things.
Yeah.
And so volunteer work, which I've done all my life, I've found to be so fulfilling, the perspectives and the gifts that of the people that, you know, that I get given while I'm doing that. So for me, those are three things that are life changing. They're, you know, and beautiful. I'm all about the embodiment. I don't want to talk anymore about one more affirmation or one more, you know, working hard to ascend somehow. I'm like, people, ascension is literally heaven on earth, and we're on earth now.
Right.
How about we make it heaven now, which is going to require us all allowing ourselves. Like, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times, right?
Right, exactly.
Best catalyst contrast ever! Like, best catalyst ever! You know, worst human behavior ever! And yet, if you don't get off your butt now, I don't know when you're ever going to get off your butt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Jennifer, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. I'm so grateful that you took the time to come on the show today. I just want to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can find out more about you. How can they find out more about your work and what kind of stuff you have coming on?
Sure. Well, they can find out about Agents of Awakening at facebook.com/Agents of Awakening. We'll be starting a group soon, but right now that's a page.
Cool.
That's a philanthropic venture. But if people want to come and play with us, there's something called the TWA Playground on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have, because of the catalyst of these times, we create a program called Get Out of Your Own Way to Living in Passion, on Purpose, in Total Flow. Because I think a lot of people are being fine-tuned to why they're on the planet. So that's coming up the end of July, and that's all on the website that you mentioned earlier, thewideawakening.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Excellent. Well, listen, I'm so pleased that you and fellow Evolutionary Business Council member Valerie Shepherd are doing something about that video. I actually, although I'd heard about it, I hadn't actually seen it until late last night. Cool. And I'm just like, absolutely. Like, now is the time more than ever. Let's catalyze. Let's build those bridges. Let's be the embodiment of what we want to see in the world, because there's never been a better time ever to actually do it.
Yes. It's like it's divinely appalling.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Divinely appalling.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. And thank you, my loyal listeners, Sanaya. I see you on the Facebook Live. Thank you so much, Patty. Books. Do you have a book written, just before we go, real quick?
Actually, I'm just finishing up one right now. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
All about the new operating system for you. It's all about what we talked about today.
So. Excellent. We got to have you back on when that book comes back out, when it comes out. Okay. So we definitely will talk about that. All right. I'm over time. Thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Voices of Change with Ken Foster. And we will talk to you next week.